Council. We'll call to order this time. We're going to have the invocation by Mr. Richard Johnson, followed by the pledge, which will be led by Chief Ferenko. Good evening, Mr. Johnson.
Mayor, may we pray? Oh, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, once again we come before thy throne of mercy. We come, Lord, giving thee thanks for all of the blessing that thou hast bestowed upon us. We ask in our Lord, if it is thy will, that thou would continue to go with us, stand by us, lead us, guide us, and direct us, my Master, in the way that you would have us to go. We ask you, Lord, to bless this meeting tonight. Bless our Father, our council member. Bless the citizens of the city of Aiken. Lord, and look even on the state of South Carolina and the nation. We pray, Lord, that whatever is done and said here tonight will be in accordance with thy will. These blessings we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus, the only Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good evening, Chief.
Sir. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We certainly want to welcome everyone out tonight. We'd like to start by reading the guidelines for our city council meetings. Meetings are public forums in which many opinions are expressed, and the business of the city must be conducted as such. Disciplined, honorable, and professional decorum is paramount. Courteous and respectful communication is expected. During public hearings, all questions and statements from the public shall be directed to the chair. And if you wish to speak, raise your hand and I will certainly recognize you. Please approach the podium and state your name and address. In order to allow an opportunity for everyone who wishes to address council, speakers should limit their comments to the subject being discussed. Each speaker will be given 5 minutes to address an issue and may only address an issue once unless questions from council are posed to the speaker. And with that, I would like to recognize our Mayor Pro Tem, Councilwoman Gail Dix, for additions and deletions to the agenda.
Good evening. Mr. Mayor and members of council, are there any additions or deletions to our agenda? Would there be a none? I make a motion that we approve our agenda.
The motion.
Second.
A second by Mr. Waltz. All those in favor of approving the agenda as presented? And that's unanimous. Thank you. The minutes were distributed to council for their review before the meeting. Is there a motion to accept the minutes as distributed?
I so move.
Second.
Okay. Councilwoman Dix made the motion. Councilman Gerdo made the second. All those in favor of the minutes? And that's unanimous. Moving down to presentations. The first presentation is a request by Aiken Mended Hearts that February be proclaimed as American Heart Month. I have a proclamation that I would like to enter and then entertain a motion for. Proclamation read, whereas cardiovascular disease is a leading cause of death in Aiken and accounts for more deaths than cancer, diabetes, suicide, and Alzheimer's disease combined. And whereas making the right choices regarding nutrition, physical activity, medical care, and other lifestyle factors is essential in living a heart-healthy life. And whereas Aiken Mended Hearts serves the residents of Aiken by actively supporting cardiac rehabilitation efforts in concert with USCA. And whereas Aiken Mended Hearts recommended people embrace at least one lifestyle change to reduce their risk of heart disease through increasing their physical activity, making heart-healthy dietary changes, and losing weight. And whereas February has been declared American Heart Month, let it be known to all citizens of Aiken, therefore, that the Aiken Mended Hearts Chapter 294 implores their cooperation in fighting America's number one killer, heart disease. Let February be the month when all good men and women seek assurances that their hearts are ready to sustain a long and healthy life. Don't procrastinate and become one who succumbs to the silent killer. Act now and enjoy the February yet to come. February is yet to come. And whereas the facts speak loudly, the City of Aiken does therefore endorse and support through this proclamation the best welfare of its citizens and all others who henceforth shall profit by this call to health. Now for therefore the city, if the city, the Council of the City of Aiken does hereby proclaim February 2018 as American Heart Month and encourage all residents to make lifestyle changes to reduce their risk of heart disease and join with the Aiken Mended Hearts in fighting America's number one killer, heart disease. Is there a motion from council? Councilman Walt, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Ms. Gregory. All right. Any comments? All those in favor? And, of course, that's unanimous. And I think we have members here tonight from Aiken Mended Hearts. If y'all would like to come up to the podium, I'd be happy to. If you'd like to take a moment, please let our council know some of the activities in Aiken Mended Hearts in Toronto.
Hello. My name is Connie Beveridge. I am the present president of Aiken Chapter 294. Most of us in Mended Hearts have had a heart event ourselves. And we visit patients in the hospital every single day, 365 days a year. And we try to bring them our experience, strength, and hope so that they might be encouraged by seeing what we espouse. Thank you.
Thank you for all you do and all that your hearts do.
Thank you.
We appreciate so much.
I'm the Vice President, Chris Maxwell.
Yes, sir,
thank you very much for you and the council for your proclamation.
Well, I'm happy to present this to you this time. And we actually have another copy that they were working on. They'll have the official seal on it, but I wanted to give you this so you have the text of it, and we'll get in touch with you to make sure you have that again.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. So Miss Eubanks is here, isn't she? Donnell?
Yes, she is.
Donnell is going to be performing at the State of the City, which is coming up February 26th. But we've asked her if she could to come up tonight if she doesn't mind. And if you're comfortable with it now, I know it's a preview, and we're going to ask you again on the 26th. But so you're going to do the Star Spangled Banner.
Yes,
for us,
sir.
Correct? Would you mind doing it for us now? And we'll rise up. We're going to stand up. We appreciate Donnell being with us.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fights o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
too far. Now, in the age of TV, reality, and all, I look to the judges out here. Do you think she'll do a great job at the State of the City? Or not? And Donnell, you actually go to the Aiken Performing Arts. I don't want to get it wrong. School. And so we appreciate you sharing that with us tonight, and just a little teaser, as they call it in TV, right? So we hope we'll see everyone on February 26th at our State of the City is also. So thank you for being here. I know you have homework and stuff to do tonight. So we understand. We're going to move down to old business at this time. It's hard to follow that. Number one under old business is approval of appointments and discussion of appointees to various city boards, commissions, and committees. I'll recognize our city manager, Mr. John Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The council has 19 pending appointments to fill vacancies on different city boards, commissions, and committees. Three appointments are presented for council's consideration and vote at the meeting tonight. Council Member Price has recommended the appointment of John Lindsay to the Election Commission to fill the unexpired term of Mr. Keith Wood, who has resigned. If appointed, Mr. Lindsay's term would expire August 2021. Council Member Gerardo has recommended the appointment of Karen Daly to the Board of Zoning Appeals to fill the unexpired term of Pat Pernanetti. If appointed, Ms. Daly's term would expire December 1st, 2018. She would be eligible for reappointment if approved by the council. Council Member Gerardo has also recommended the appointment of Graham Reynolds to the General Aviation Commission to fill the position of Douglas Huffer, who with the term expiring September 1st, 2019. For council consideration is the appointment of John Lindsay to the Election Commission, Karen Daly to the Board of Zoning Appeals, and Graham Reynolds to the General Aviation Commission.
Okay. Is there a motion to accept these nominations?
I so move.
Councilwoman Diggs with a motion. Is there a second?
Second, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilwoman Price. All those in favor of these nominations at this time? And that's unanimous. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, Don Lindsay is present in the audience. Don, I think everybody knows you would stand anyway. He is the...
John, thank you for your service, and you're going to be serving with a great chairman over here, Mr. Johnson, so well done. At this time, I'd like to open the floor for nominations. I know Councilman Waltz, you had some nominations to make.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I am recommending that we nominate Ryan Reynolds, who is general contractor with H.G. Reynolds, to fill a vital place on the Planning Commission, and I will be reappointing Josh Stewart to the Design and Review Board, Bud Coward to the BZA, and Susan Victor to the Accommodation Tax Committee.
Okay, very good. Any other nominations for to be considered at our next meeting?
Just a question. You don't have a Planning Commission open. You don't have a Planning Commission opening, do you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Any other nominations at this time?
Doesn't say so.
Very good.
Reappointments?
Yes.
Okay, let me give me 1 second.
It doesn't.
Okay, with me, I'm sorry, guys. I was not ready for this because I thought reappointments were not articulated, but I do have them.
Oh, my God.
I would like to reappoint Mrs. Judy Turner for the Board of Zoning Appeals and Mrs. Lucy Knowles for the ARB.
Very good. They'll go for consideration on our next meeting as well.
Just a further question on the Planning Commission doesn't show that.
With our, to answer the question, with the ordinance that we just passed and before the new council members got here, every vacancy started running concurrent with.
Didn't think that was the intention. I thought the intention was that the people that were appointed would stay until their term expired.
They were all contacted. All existing members were contacted.
That's your understanding. Thank you.
Yeah, all members were contacted and asked if they wish to continue to serve.
Okay. It's fine. I wasn't aware of that.
Mr. Mayor, I would like to reappoint Ron Delamora to the Energy and Environmental Committee.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Joda. Any other nominations for consideration in our next meeting?
Very good.
Thank you. Moving down old business, number two, this is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 1123 Williams Drive and zone it residential single family RS-15. By title, an ordinance to annex property owned by Rachel Lugamore and to zone the same residential single family RS-15. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Okay, we have a motion. Councilman Waltz, second. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, pursuant to the city's water and sewer annexation policy, the owner of 1123 Williams Drive is requesting annexation and a zoning change to residential single-family RS-15. The Planning Commission at their meeting on December 12, 2017, considered this request for annexation and recommended that the property be annexed and zoned residential single-family RS-15. The Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the January 8, 2018 meeting for City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to annex property at 1123 Williams Drive and zone it residential single family.
Very good, thank you. Comments from the audience? Comments from Council? All those in favor on second reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to old business number three. This is a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance to enter into an agreement with Aiken County and SC Aiken LLC regarding redevelopment of the Aiken Mall. By title, an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a special source credit and incentive agreement by and among the City of Aiken, Aiken County, and Southeastern Aiken LLC, and a purchase and sale agreement between the City and SC Aiken LLC, all in connection with the redevelopment of the Aiken Mall. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Comments from staff.
Mr. Mayor, the developer and owner of the Aiken Mall has been working very closely with the City of Aiken and Aiken County to develop a multi-county business park plan and to develop an agreement to defray certain costs of the Aiken Mall redevelopment, including various recreational enhancements and other improvements to enhance the economic development of this property. In order for the city to direct some of the development of the park and the allocation of the fees in lieu of taxes generated from the Aiken Mall property, two things needed to be consented to by the council. One, a special source credit and incentive agreement which will allow for the allocation of funds generated from the improvements at the Aiken Mall, along with the purchase of a portion of recreational property. And two, a purchase and sales agreement for the above mentioned recreational portion of the mall property for $1 million. The source, as you will recall, at this time is $400,000 from the franchise fee. $200,000 from the Economic Reinvestment Fund and $400,000 from the hospitality tax. City Council approved this ordinance on first reading at the January 8, 2018 meeting. For City Council consideration, a second reading and public hearing of an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to enter into a special source credit and incentive agreement by and among the City of Aiken, Aiken County, and the developers of the Aiken Mall. And Mr. Mayor, we have both our attorney present, Mr. Gary Pope, who has advised the city on this matter. He actually would like to have a few words to describe some minor adjustments to the agreement document itself. But we also have Mr. Jason Long here, who is representing the development team.
Very good. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Good evening.
There have been a handful of essentially non-material or favorable to the city changes that have been made in the agreement since first reading. The agreement is attached to the ordinance as an attachment, and council is delegating to the city manager the ability to execute and deliver that agreement. The changes include indemnification provisions and insurance provisions running from the developer to the city in case anything were to happen on the property. There have been a couple clarifying changes relating to the mechanics of how the FELO works, but otherwise all of the material provisions of the agreement, particularly the flow of funds and the way the special source credit works, none of that has changed, and all of that works as discussed at the last meeting and in the various work sessions.
Okay. Would Mr. Smith, would that require an amendment of any sort?
The ordinance actually allows the agreement to be modified after City Council approves this ordinance in the event that some minor changes need to be made. So there's no need to change the ordinance at this time. Mr. Quinn would have that authority.
Okay, very good.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council?
Yeah, I have a question. I just for clarification's sake, we're talking about the walking track outside the mall and the park area in there. Will we be getting two different plats, or are we buying two different, or are we, in essence, purchasing two separate pieces of property here and referring to it as one? Mm-hmm. What's the mechanics of this?
Mr. Woltz, the outside track is the track that is contemplated to be purchased for the $1 million price tag, the circle track. The interior park, which will be improved with the proceeds of the special source revenue credit, will eventually be either transferred to the city at no cost or purchased for a dollar in nominal consideration once those are complete and out of the ground and done. So okay. At some future point, they'll be conveyed to the city.
So we aren't purchasing that, just the track?
Not right now.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Very good.
My question is, who has responsibility for maintaining both the park and the track?
The city.
Okay.
So we'll be responsible for maintaining the interior park that we don't own?
You will be responsible for maintaining it when you own it. Upon ownership, you will be responsible for maintaining that.
In the budget, you factor that in, the cost of maintenance?
Yes, we actually working with the developers, we actually got quotes from landscaping firms in terms of the projection of costs over the next 10 to 15 years, and a number of $60,000 a year in maintenance costs was concluded.
Okay, is there any intent, I don't want, maybe too early to ask this question, is there any intent to do, what is the intent to do with the park inside? What will that...
Well, that's a work in progress, because the concept that has worked so successfully in Hilton Head and other areas and other renovated malls that are enjoying this healthy concept is that there be a partnership in programming. So it wouldn't simply be a city. We obviously couldn't be holding events that are contrary to activities that are taking place at the mall. So there would, in the first instance, if we utilize the model that has been used very successfully in Hilton Head, there'd be a partnership formed in terms of the overall maintenance and oversight of the park. That has not yet been worked out, but we plan to work on that over the next 6 months or so.
Okay, thank you.
And correct me if I'm wrong, please, Mr. Klim, but the developer, it is my understanding that they will actually landscape and do create the landscaping, so forth and so on, and then we would just take over the maintenance.
Jason, would you like to speak to that? Mr. Long with Southeastern is here. Good evening, Jason.
Good evening, Jason. Good evening.
We miss you at the last meeting, but we understand why you weren't there.
Yeah. We'll get into that. It's still a sore subject, right?
We wish you to come on National
That's
Championship
right.
Game.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. Thank you for having me tonight.
If you can clarify that point for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, so the improvements to the ring that is contemplating the purchase that was just spoken of, as well as the interior park, are improvements that will be made by the developer, and which is the reason for the special source revenue credits, the SSRC agreement. We'll be using those funds to improve the park.
And Mr. Waltz was commiserating with you, by the way.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
That was a bad loss. That was
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. Have a good evening. Thank you.
I have a question on this. I know just thinking about the split that we have. We have 400 hospitality, 200 economic development. No, is that right? Hospitality 200, right?
No, 400. Hospitality 400, franchise fee 400.
400 and 200 from economic development. What does that bring our economic development fund down to?
It would basically deplete it.
For 250?
It is, but so for all intents and purposes, it would deplete it.
Could we rewrite that and take more out of our hospitality tax and save that economic development money?
Yes, absolutely.
We were discussing, we had money set aside, it's an issue we've all talked about, and I think 18 is going to have a lot of opportunities for the city.
I think that would give this council, who has made economic development a priority, more flexibility. So staff would certainly support that.
So do we need to... Does someone need to make a motion?
Could we amend that?
So it would be 4 from franchise and 600 from hospitality.
I would make a motion that we save our economic development money and move that more money out of hospitality tax that we have to pay for this and save that money for when we need it another time.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good amendment. Well, I think we probably need to find who made the motion and the second originally, don't we, Gary?
Yes.
But I mean, I think that's a smart use of our money.
Well, I'll ask Gary Pope for clarification. I don't think this particular ordinance specifies where those funds are coming from.
It indicates from, I think, just legally available funds. But
You'd be able to do that internally.
So we can do that internally. So
yes.
Good. Yeah. I think there's a consensus that we direct staff to save that money in the economic development fund at this time. So that would be 600 from hospitality going towards this project and 400 from franchise fee, correct? All right, with that direction, all those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you.
You have somebody raising their hand.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Did you want to speak on?
I'd like to say something.
Yes, sir. Yes. What? Tell me. Is it about that issue?
Hi. My name is Andrew Coaches. I live on Shawnee Drive.
Yes.
I'm nobody. I just fell in love with Aiken.
Ms. Coaches, I want to ask for clarification. Are you speaking on that issue?
Yeah, on this issue of the purchase.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't see. I apologize for not seeing you raise your hand, please.
Is that, am I right?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Yeah, okay. What happened was I read the paper tonight where it says they're going to get so much money for economic reinvestment. Then had transportation and public safety funds. That kind of rang a bell, like money for police, and then also hospitality tax funds. What was the hospitality tax passed for to begin with? What was that money earmarked for? Mm-hmm. Items like this?
The hospitality tax is actually earmarked for, there's only five to six things that are listed in the state ordinance that it can go for. Certainly park, recreation, things that draw people into your city are one of those uses. Parking, to solve a parking issue is one of the issues it has.
I don't profess to know how this works, so I'm sorry, but could you expand a little bit about money from the transportation and public safety funds?
Yeah, I'll let staff talk. Yes.
Thank you for the question, sir. The increase in the franchise fee, which is the fee that is charged to our electric utilities, can be used for any purpose, any municipal purpose, as opposed to the hospitality tax that is limited, as the mayor said, for the most part to activities that serve guests, visitors. The franchise fee increase can be used for any legitimate municipal purpose.
Okay,
it has been the priority of the past council
that that money, for the most part, be targeted for either public safety. And the reason they did that was very specifically they knew that we were going to have to address the issue of the condition of the police headquarters, public safety headquarters. And so $500,000 of that every year is actually the funding source that's going to allow the chief to build a rehabilitated new headquarters. So this money isn't taking away from public safety.
I didn't understand. When I read that, it was like, wait a minute.
Those were two of the priorities that the former council identified for use of the fund. But there is not a legal requirement that as long as it's a legitimate municipal purpose, it could be used.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Appreciate it. And I apologize for not seeing your hand earlier.
That's all right.
Thank you for that. All right, moving down to new business. One of our new businesses is an approval of resolution accepting a deed of dedication for utilities and easement in Springstone Villas by title of resolution authorizing the acceptance of a deed of dedication for utilities in Springstone Villas from Country Home Builders of Aiken, LLC. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor, that we approve.
Councilwoman Price, is there a second?
I second.
Councilwoman Diggs, comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, Mr. Gerald Waters of Country Home Builders of Aiken is requesting that the city accept a deed of dedication for utilities, including sanitary sewer lines, water lines, valves, and related equipment, and easements located on property known as Springstone Villas. It's located off Whiskey Road and Stratford Drive. The deed of dedication does not include the detention pond. The engineering staff has reviewed the deed and plat and inspected the facilities. They are recommending that the city accept the deed of dedication for the utilities and Springstone Villas as they meet city requirements for acceptance. For council consideration is a resolution to accept a deed of dedication for utilities and Springstone Villas.
Very good. Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? Hearing none, all those in favor? That's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to number two under new business, this is the first reading of an ordinance to grant an easement to South Carolina Electric and Gas Company at Northside Park, located at 1677 Columbia Highway North, by title an ordinance authorizing the City of Aiken to grant an easement to South Carolina Electric and Gas Company. Is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion from Councilman Gerardo. Is there a second?
I second.
Second from Councilwoman Diggs. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, South Carolina Electric and Gas Company is requesting the City of Aiken to provide an easement across the city property, this is at Northside Park, to provide and maintain electric service to the new Northside Park at 1677 Columbia Highway North. The request also includes the right to use the easement to install additional electrical lines and gas pipelines in the future when needed. The underground electrical line easement would run from the rear north side of the city property in an easterly direction to US 1. Proposed easement is shown on the attached drawing within the agenda. SEG would run underground feeder lines from the easement to serve the new Northside Park area. So for City Council consideration is first reading of an ordinance to grant an easement to SEG on city property to provide electrical service to the new Northside Park at 1677 Columbia Highway North. And Mr. Scott Neely from our utility company. I don't see him here this evening, but I know that he will make himself available to the council for second reading if you have any technical questions for him.
Any comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor on first reading? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Moving down to business number three. This is first reading of an ordinance to amend the 2017-18 budget to include revenue and expenditures for repairs to the Carriage Museum and the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame. By title, an ordinance amending the budget of the City of Aiken for the fiscal year beginning July 1, 2017 and ending June 30, 2018. Is there a motion?
I so move.
Second.
Councilwoman Diggs, Councilman Duar, second. Thank you. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, this request represents both a very unique opportunity and represents the story of an incredible group of our citizens who continue to step up to the plate to provide assistance for our city to maintain and improve one of our crown jewels. Our Park and Recs Director, Jessica Campbell, has requested this evening that we amend the 2017-18 budget to include revenues and expenditures for repairs to the Carriage Museum and the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame. Staff notes that work is currently underway on the Carriage Museum renovation project. Painting and roof repair in the amount of $70,076 was deducted from the original scope of work in order to stay within the current budget allotment of $125,000. The Friends of Hopelands and Rye Patch have once again stepped up to the plate and informed us that they are willing to commit an additional 30% of the $70,076. If the city can make funding available now, while the very experienced current contractor that both the Friends and our staff are very happy with are still there working, so that we can complete this project at this time. Our staff has also pointed out that the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame is in need of repair. Some minor maintenance work was done on the Hall of Fame last fall, and at the time it was realized that there was water damage and wood rot, and that the scope of work was greater than had originally been anticipated. And once again, the Friends of Hopeland and Rye Patch have committed to contributing 30% of the cost for that repair on the Hall of Fame if we can, while this existing, very experienced contractor is on the site, can continue and complete the work. It is estimated the cost of repairing the Hall of Fame would be $39,091. The total cost for completion of the Carriage Museum and the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame repairs is $136,458, which includes a very generous 25% contingency of $27,291. We're all aware that these are very old structures, and it's very difficult at times to project the actual costs, so all of us felt that it was proper to include a healthy contingency so that we don't have to return to the council for additional funds. Of that total, the Friends of Hopelands and Rye Patch would contribute 30% towards the repairs, or $40,937. That would leave $95,521 for the city to provide to complete the projects. After consultation with our financial staff and with our Park and Rec staff, it is recommended that we request an amount from the hospitality tax to cover these costs. I also would like to recognize that in your agenda package there is a letter of correspondence from Mr. William Reynolds, who's with us this evening, representing the Friends of Hopelands and Rye Patch. And there was an extraordinary last paragraph of this letter that I think bears repeating. Mr. Reynolds reminds me that the Friends deeply appreciate the unique partnership with the city that has existed for some 47 years. During that period of time, the Friends have contributed about $1.6 million in today's dollars for the betterment of Hopelands and Rye Patch. This will, Mr. Reynolds concludes, be a continuation of that partnership. Mr. Mayor, if we could, through you, recognize Mr. William Reynolds, the president, for a brief comment at this time. And our staff is present, both our engineering staff, Pierce Atkins from our engineering department is overseeing this project from an engineering standpoint, and Jeff Metz and Jessica Campbell are here from Park and Rec as well.
Mr. Reynolds. Mr. Reynolds, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for those kind words. I'd also like to introduce John Schellenberg, who is the Vice President of Midwest Maintenance, who is the contractor on site that we've had such fortunate luck with in the earlier restoration. They have their winter crews from Ohio down here working, so that's one of the ways they keep their craftsmen, a retainer craftsman, is when it gets cold up there and they can't work, they bring them down here. So we were able to garner them, you know, the painters, the wood people, and so forth. And that was the, you know, part of the incentive in doing this. The other incentive, frankly, is we'd like to try to get it all done before Masters Week because we want to have it, you know, nice and shiny. But I would like to just say a couple of things. I'm sorry, Bill Reynolds, 252 Old Market Street. This is the first time the Friends have had an opportunity to come before the three new members of City Council. And so to Mrs. Gregory, Mr. Waltz, Mr. Girardeau, we extend our congratulations on your election to council, and we look forward to working with you well into the future in maintaining the excellent partnership we've had with the city over the past 47 years. I know you're familiar with the Friends, but I'd just like to say a couple things that you might find interesting. When the city accepted Hopelands back in 1969, it was a very interesting arrangement. Because here was this big mansion, 15 acres of land, and there was no money either in the city coffers or in pub or that was, you know, identified from private sources to maintain it. So that took a very courageous decision on the part of City Council back in those days. The house was torn down with the agreement of the Friends and as well as the estate in the city, because it would have cost $100,000 back in 1969 to bring it up to the standards that it was felt were needed. Today, that $100,000 after you adjust for inflation would be $700,000. So you can see why the house had to be torn down. But the Friends were formed in 1971. Our primary mission was to raise funds to help support the city in the maintenance and betterment of those properties, as well as to give the city advice and counsel on how to maintain those properties. So as Mr. Clem said, in the 47 years since then, we have, thanks to the generosity of our supporters, we have been able to contribute $1.6 million in inflation-adjusted dollars. If you're able to approve this request tonight, that means that the Friends over the last 4 years will have contributed to the city $250,000 or $250,000 to help with Rye Patch, Carriage Museum, and the Thoroughbred Racing Hall of Fame, as well as painting Rye Patch. So it's been a great run, and we want to see it continue for another 47 years, and hopefully I won't be around to see it, but we've enjoyed it. It's been very profitable. And if I may, I'd like to introduce the executive committee of the Friends, our trustees, our friends, and our supporters. So if everybody would just stand up that's here, either you're a trustee, you're a supporter, or you're an executive committee member. Great job.
First of all, I'll say with all the energy that you have, I don't know that you won't be here 47 years from now. Are there any other comments from the audience, first of all?
I'd just like to say we appreciate your commitment, all of your commitment to Rye Patch and Hopeland Gardens. Everybody just loves the gardens and Rye Patch, and I've rented Rye Patch years ago for different events, even the little cottage for my granddaughter's first birthday, and what a delightful time we had. And I was out during the Christmas holidays for the lights of Hopeland's, and took my granddaughter in the little dollhouse, and I've got so many pretty pictures from that. But my son-in-law is from Savannah, and he was just marveling at how much better Hopeland Gardens is than the same type of attraction in Savannah that they had to pay for to get in. He said, this is 100 times better. So every time I think of reasons why they're glad they're here, why they moved from Savannah, Hopeland Gardens is one of them, and Rye Patch is another. So thank you so much for all you do. We certainly appreciate all of you.
Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I'd like to make a comment, and I was not going to, but I believe in giving someone flowers while they can hear it and smell it. And I want to thank you all again for your leadership of this, but I want to thank your leader, especially Bill Reynolds. I met Bill Reynolds very early on. This is not a Bill Reynolds celebration, but I must say this publicly. But Bill and his wife moved to this area, and within months he was asking, what can I do to get involved with this town? It wasn't 6 months he was asking that. Not quite settled in, probably, in your home. And Bill became involved in the Planning Commission. Involvement, he became chair of that committee. And then he improved our ordinances and rezoning status there. And then he became chair of the Sesquicentennial celebration. And then he led horseplay. And it just went on and on and on. This man could not do enough for this town, and still doing it. So I wanted you to hear that we recognize that, and we have so many I know that are like you, that are doing those things, but you need to hear that from council, that we appreciate your time and your talent, and your wife especially, with her sharing you with us. So thank you so much.
I was going to say, we might all recognize her for it. Just echo those comments. We indeed appreciate what has become a great partnership and a group of citizens, our friends we just say thank you for the love of our city and the generosity that you continuously amaze us with.
We love this town.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for what you do. Any other comments from council?
Thank you.
All right, all those in favor of changing the budget to include expenditures for repairs at the Carriage Museum? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Congratulations and thank you. And I want to say to Mr. Schellenberg, if I could, I think first of all, I remember my first time meeting John. He came under budget on the first project that y'all guys had. And so I said, we need to tag him for a lot of other things. Then I find out he's staying in the winter colony tradition of a snowbird, bringing people down for the winter. So,
they're spending money here.
John, thank you for what you're doing for us. We appreciate it.
He's a keeper.
All right, moving down to petitions and requests. Number one is a request for Aiken Downtown Development Association.
That's one.
Forgive me, I'm sorry.
Number four.
I don't know that I have.
You have the original agenda.
Hmm?
You have the original
agenda. I have the original agenda.
Just put it.
Okay. Excuse me. Number four, this is the first reading of an ordinance to repeal the hospitality tax, an ordinance amending Chapter 38 of the Code of the City of Aiken to repeal the local hospitality tax. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
All right. I will make a second on that so we can have discussion. Comments from staff? No comments. Comments from the audience? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, Council.
Good evening.
I'm Suzanne Hassler. Do you need my address?
Please.
452 Kershaw Place, Southeast, Aiken.
I'm Mike Fettner, 308 Foxtail Court.
Here tonight as representing the Recreation Commission, as I'm chairman and have been past chairman as well. I'm also an advisory board member of the Aiken Racing Hall of Fame. With me tonight is Mike Beckner, who is my vice chairman and has been for 2 years on the Recreation Commission of the city. I'm here just to voice my support for a hospitality tax. I've seen firsthand in the last 2 years what it's done for our programs as well as the Racing Hall of Fame. I'm concerned that we will not be able to address urgent needs of unexpected maintenance and enhancement of current programs or expanding some programs if we don't have access to that money. Mike is going to elaborate a little bit about the projects that we've been a part of. In conclusion, I do think that if the city's focus is to encourage younger demographic group to this city, that public recreational facilities are a high priority for people when they're looking to move.
Just very briefly, with regard to the figures, just $14 shy of $360,000 has been spent from the hospitality tax over a variety of projects since the inception. To include $140,000 for the repair, actually a new roof at Smith Hazel, $42,000 for renovations at Smith Hazel and H.O. Weeks Center, putting in ADA handicap accessible doors and an upgrade to the Weeks restroom and flooring renovations, $7,000 for rye patch carpet and varied improvements, $30,000 for Carolina Bay deck railing, and $120,000 for new public tennis and pickleball courts at Virginia Acres Park. And in this past year, there's almost $21,000 spent to rebuild tennis and pickleball courts at Eustis Park. So I'm not sure where this money for these upgrades and renovations might have come from if it hadn't been for the hospitality tax, but rest assured that we on the Recreation Commission certainly appreciate that influx of funding. We hope that you find it your way clear to continue with that influx of revenue, certainly for Parks and Recreation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your comments and for being here tonight. Any other comments from the audience? Comments from council?
I'm a little disappointed not to have a little more comment about staff on what we've used the justifying the tax, but I made the motion. I have been opposed to the hospitality tax since day one, and my concern primarily is the impact that it's going to have on the passage of CPSC 4, which in my mind is far more important than the hospitality tax. When we passed the first hospitality tax, it was contingent upon repealing, when we passed the first capital project sales tax program, it was contingent on repealing the hospitality tax, which was done after CPSC 1 was passed. I have the same concerns. There are a lot of people that are angry about the tax. It's a minor tax. Spend $50 on prepared food and it's 50 cents. But people don't see the 50 cents, they see the 9%, and that bothers them. And I think we have a chance to reduce a tax that, in my opinion, is not needed. I'm not going to quibble with the fact that the money we've collected has been used for good purposes. It certainly has. I have no question about that. But I'm not sure that we needed to pass a hospitality tax to do that. We would have fixed that roof at Smith Hazel one way or another. We certainly wouldn't have let it fall apart. So I support the repeal of the tax. This is my third time making this motion. I feel an obligation to do so with the three new council members. And if it passes, it would go to a second reading. So I'll leave it to the rest of the council if they have any comments and ready to vote. I thank staff for putting it on the agenda.
Thank you, Councilman Duar. Let me say, first of all, I do have an appreciation for Councilman DeWar on this issue because he's passionate about it and believes in it. I ran on a platform largely against a hospitality tax, okay? So when I got here and I said, we're going to do away with this, we voted on it. I voted against it. But I'm going to say, council has done a great job of putting it to things that would come out of the general fund, for example, like the roof for the parks and rec, for things that are important. Tonight, we put $600,000 to an economic development process that we would have had to find in other places. We also put, I guess, the equivalent of, what was it, $100,000 essentially? For the carriage, it's projects that make our city better. I feel like this council and the previous council tightened up and was very responsible with the hospitality tax. While I have much respect for Councilman DeWar, I will be voting against the motion to repeal it tonight. So, unless there's any other comments from council.
Mr. Mayor, I want to go on record saying I'm against any extra tax, and certainly against hospitality tax is one more thing. The problem I have is, after looking at everything, is I don't know where we would make up this extra money from. And we can't just turn that spigot off. So I think we have to keep the hospitality tax in place right now, and we have to keep funding these projects that we're funding. Otherwise, we don't have the money for them. It's plain and simple. Our only other choice would be to raise the millage rate. And I think we've got this under control. We know where the money comes from. It all does not come just from Aikenites, so it helps us, the city, out. And I think it's a better choice for us at this point in time.
All right. All right, y'all. So just reread the motion. This is an ordinance amending Chapter 38 of the Code of the City of Aiken to repeal the local hospitality tax. So a positive vote is to repeal.
Correct.
Correct. Okay. All those in favor of the ordinance? Councilman DeWar. All those opposed to the ordinance? That's Councilman Wiltz, Councilwoman Price, Councilwoman Gregory, the Mayor, Councilwoman Diggs, and Councilman Gerda. Thank you. So moving down, I don't know how I got an old copy of the agenda. Moving down to petitions and requests. Number one is a request from Aiken Downtown Development Association to place banners in the downtown for various events they sponsor. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
I second.
We have a second. Comments from staff?
No comments. Just a request.
No comments. Okay. Comments from the audience? Comments from council? All those in favor? And that's unanimous. Thank you. Number two is a request for approval of Fox Hunt project in the downtown area. Is there a motion?
So moved, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
I'm looking for someone else.
I'll second. You got a second? All right, second. Very good. Comments from staff?
Mr. Mayor, for some time, staff, specifically Stuart Biedenbaugh from my office, has been working with a group of folks on a kind of an interesting project. And I think representatives of the group, I think Rebecca Vignier is here, and others, to explain to you specifically what their project concept is.
Very good.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Good evening, welcome.
Thanks. I'm Rebecca Vignier, and this is Dr. Tom Akins, and we're here with Kit Fox Pediatric Dentistry. I'll let Dr. Tom explain to you a little bit about, he moved to Aiken 3 years ago with his family and started the practice 2 years ago, and I'll let him explain a little bit about the reason why he wanted to do this project, and then I'll go into the details of the project.
Thank you all for having me here tonight, and Rebecca. Like she said, my family and I moved here to Aiken about 3 years ago. I had practiced in Atlanta for about 8 years prior to coming here, and my wife and I very intentionally chose Aiken. I'm from a town that's even smaller than Aiken, so we appreciate some things about a small town. Prior to that, I had worked in Atlanta, and I regret that I spent so much time in Atlanta, so I'm very happy to be here in Aiken. I had the privilege of being on the Chamber of Commerce's task force for helping to make Aiken a compelling place to live. And one of the things that came out of that task force, of course, was to try to attract people, particularly young families, to the downtown area. And I think members of that task force, perhaps members of the council as well, have been to or at least familiar with the city of Greenville and some of the things that they've done quite successfully. That includes the Mice on Main project that they had. If you're not familiar with that, I think there's a map and there's mice located strategically through the downtown area, and people with their families go on a mice hunt and things of that nature. So having been on that compelling place to live task force and being vested in the city of Aiken and having young children myself, we came up with the notion of maybe that through my business that we could come up with a similar project for Aiken. So that's where we're coming from.
So originally we met with the tourism supervisor at the time, Jenny Burkhart. She directed us to planning, so we met with Michaela and Ryan, and then kind of troubleshooted with them, and then met with Stuart Beanbaugh about this project. So the idea is that Kit Fox would fund the project, and they want to have at least 6 bronze sculptures in the downtown area that people can go on a little scavenger hunt to find, and they would use a brochure that we would print and have in different locations in downtown shops, and families could go through each location and wander around downtown. And the idea is to bring in people from out of the area and also give young families something to do in the downtown, give them a reason to stay and shop and dine downtown. Right now there's not really, you can take your children to Cindy's Sweet Shop or Pitter Patter or a few restaurants, but there's not a real draw to downtown for young families. So the idea is to bring them in using a little scavenger hunt like this. It would be a public art project, and we've chosen 6 different locations. The Aiken Visitor Center and Train Depot, the park at the public library, the Wilcox, Teague Parkway, which is in front of Mellow Mushroom. I'm not sure of the parkway near Betsy's on the corner, but there's a little parkway that has a fountain in it near First Presbyterian, and then somewhere in the alley. And none of these are concrete. The Wilcox was very enthusiastic about the project, and they were the only location that we needed approval that was not a city property. So the other locations would need to be approved by the city. The idea is to have 6 different little fox statues. Because Aiken has a history of fox hunting, we thought it would be fun to tie that in. And the statues would be made of bronze. They would be 8 inches by 8 inches roughly. So fairly small. There wouldn't be any signage. It would just be a fox that they could find. The only credit that Kit Fox is looking for is on the brochure, and we did bring a sample of the brochure. Is that possible to put up on the screen? If not, that's okay. It's just a rough sample of what the brochure may look like, but it would have the map locations, and then it would have the, we're hoping that this could be kind of a partnership with the city, so we would have the city's logo alongside Kit Fox's logo.
The brochure will be in English?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, what you're looking at is just filler text. we didn't go through. The idea is to put a little information about each location on the, so some history about the Wilcox or history about the parkways in Aiken. We didn't go through and do all the research on that until the project moves forward further.
Mm-hmm.
report with the sculptor, please?
Right. So the sculptor is Dan Wells, the person who created the Mice on Main. Mm-hmm. She's willing to work with a team. Each sculpture would cost roughly $1,300, and Kit Fox is willing to pay for six of those, as well as the installation. The foundry in Greenville is willing to come down and do that for about $400 or $500. Kit Fox is also willing to do that. What we would need from the city is to make sure that we're putting them in a safe location and an appropriate location, and also possibly maybe some groundwork, making sure that mm-hmm. everything is all right before we put it in. I'm not sure what else.
Have y'all been in contact with the Parkways Committee? They just organized a committee of people that are working to improve our parkways.
We just met this morning, as a matter of fact.
Is that through Aiken Downtown Development Association?
That design committee has now moved over as a task force for the city to come with recommendation for our parkways. Their work, Ryan Bland is from the planning, is heading that.
Ryan, and we've also we have talked with Avery at Aiken Downtown Development, who was excited about the project.
I love the idea.
Let me just say where I'm at on this. I think it's a brilliant idea. I mean, I love it. I would like to hear maybe from some of the Historic Aiken and get some feedback, and also I think the Parkway Task Force, I'd like to include them in this as well, because they're working on themes throughout as we're talking about the restoration of our parkways, making them active again. But certainly, you know, artwork, things of interest, telling the story of history is a part of that as well. I love everything about the idea. I can only speak for myself. I'm not really prepared. I want to get some more input from other stakeholders before we decide on this. Mm-hmm. But I love the direction of it. Quite honest. I sound like Simon a little bit on one of those reality shows. but I do think it's important that we get. I'd like some more input from our historic organizations, and it's a brilliant idea that I really like. I wish I had thought of it.
Mr. Mayor, if I may, I just want to say how pleasing it is for you to move here and then look at your surrounding and say, how can I make things better? How can I help the city with attracting some of these younger folks like yourself to the area? And then you obviously brainstorm, and then you come up with this idea and bring it to us. So this is just to be applauded that you have taken this initiative on and sharing that with us. So we will continue to review it. But thank you so much. It's exciting.
So the parkway out here is called Teague Parkway?
Dr. Teague, I'll give you a book about it.
Who knew? That's something new.
With an educator.
I didn't know.
City Council and whatnot.
I think your idea is inspiring. I love to see, you know, your demographic take their business and bring these ideas to the next level and incorporate our city, its beauty, its history, and everything that Mayor Rick said. I think keep pushing for it. I do agree that we have to incorporate all parties, mm-hmm. but push along and keep it going, because we need more of that.
This is great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So what I'd like to do is ask that we continue this so we could get that input. Please don't take that in any way that it's not of interest or putting it off. But I think for us to make this decision on this basis, we need to make sure all those parties have had input and buy-in on it. So I'd ask for a motion to continue if we could.
I so move.
A motion and a second. All those in favor of continuing this item? Okay. Thank y'all for coming out.
Thank you.
Sorry, may I ask you a question?
Certainly.
I'm sorry. This is ignorance of how the process works.
No,
can we do to facilitate? Is there something that we should be doing on our end?
Yeah, Stuart and our staff will be in touch also as we gather maybe some of the stakeholders you haven't had an opportunity to speak with, the task force and some of historical groups. And when you move forward with a process like this, and it's a really innovative and great idea for, I believe, you want
you want to make sure everybody buys in ahead of time. I mean, it just.
Sure. But we would just wait for someone to reach out to us.
We absolutely will, sooner rather than later.
Okay.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Do the other parkways have names?
They call it the Waltz Parkway.
Yeah. They're named after each one of us.
Very nice. You know where Jodo Park is.
I know where Jodo's is, yes.
Very, very good. I don't have anything else on my agenda. Apparently, I'm working off an old agenda, though. Is that it?
Publicly, happy birthday to the mayor.
Thank you for birthday. Thank you for that.
Yes. No,
well,
yes. Well, Dale's a senior.
After Donnell's performance tonight, I don't know that any of
us.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
The move.
So, motion is second. You. All those in favor, please stand up.
Take us out.
I didn't hear that. Does that qualify?